Hello, my name is Russell Trafford-Jones and thank you for joining me here on Broadcast Focus. We look here on the channel at anything in the broadcast industries and the media industries, which is interesting, whether that be technology or the people behind it. And we've certainly spent a lot of time looking at diversity and how to get into the industry and how to move around. And I think one thing that's really interesting and is concerning is how we're going to continue to really invest in the industry and have lots of people who are helping us and coming in and doing more new and interesting things. And of course, that's very much on the mind of Susan Pratt, who joins me from the University of Surrey.
Hello.
Hi there. And so Susan is the leader of the program leader for, I'll just bring it up here so we can all enjoy the film production and broadcast engineering degree. So thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Marvelous. So I think what would be really interesting is to dig into the ways in which you're continuing to attract new people into the course and just understand really, you know, what the market's like in terms of employment afterwards. But first and foremost, how's about you give us a bit of an intro into yourself and then perhaps the degree as well.
Okay, so I did an electrical and electronic engineering degree at the University of Edinburgh. And then I was employed by the BBC. So the BBC started in News and Current Affairs. And as an engineer in News and Current Affairs, I actually got to do a lot of the operational roles in the gallery as well. So as well as working on the technical area, and then I started to specialise in that. The BBC was great because it did also train me further in more about video engineering, which I hadn't really covered at university. And while we were doing that, we were also introduced to the craft skills. So I then carried on doing a lot of those craft skills. So I did sound mixing, lighting, camera work, vision mixing. I took up the opportunities the BBC had to take on attachments, and I was an assistant producer and I was a regional station manager. And I got more into the production side and an assistant producer as well. Eventually went on to become an assistant a director for News and Current Affairs for a short time, and then an assistant producer for BBC South, producing short features and their live news programme. After that, I went freelance and came back to London, and I was a live studio director for another 11 years until I accidentally found myself back in higher education and actually then starting to train other people and teach other people and inspire other people to get a job in our wonderful industry.
So does that mean that you're one of the few, I would say, people that's kind of moved to and fro from what people classically and binarily would say technical and creative? It sounds like there's been a little bit of movement over the years.
I mean, I absolutely started as a broadcast engineer. Then I was drawn to the creative side and really enjoyed the challenges of putting live television on and all the roles involved in it, whether it was vision mixing or sound mixing, doing the camera work, creating new ideas for programmes or productions. So I started to go more into the production side. But it's so important to understand the technology at the same time, because it means you can be even more creative with so many things that are now at our fingertips. So having that balance where you understand the technical side and then you can put it into practice on the creative side has always been really good for me.
Yeah, and if you think about post-production over the decades, definitely before computers came along, but it still is true. It's the people who understood how things worked that were pushing, ahead with new techniques of, visual effects and things like that. So, that's always been, my view, the best example of and needing to know how things tick behind the scenes. But I also wonder whether, there's a lot of interest and a lot of fun in the deadlines of broadcast. And if anything, I think you get exposed more to that when you're at the vision mixer than usually you do in the back when you're trying to make things work.
Well, I think it's a bit of both. I mean, even if you wanted to be an engineer, if you understand all the challenges that people go through who are trying to put the program out. So it was just like when we did the engineering training for the BBC, they actually put us in a gallery to begin with. And they said, right, you've got to do this, got to make this program. So if you can understand that the challenges the people on the creative side are going through, then if you are an engineer, then you know what you've got to work with and what is crucial, what is time important. Because some things actually, it doesn't matter if we fix that now, but other things we absolutely need to know if we've got that camera up and running or not, because we have to rearrange the whole program as we're going out live. So as an engineer, having an understanding for the creative process makes you a better engineer. But it also, for me, it was a bigger challenge to be part of that creative process and put ideas together, not just on the post-production side that you're talking about, but even on all the technology that we have. Mm-hmm. If you know what you're doing with the cameras, you'll record in the correct format to begin with, you'll be able to deal with the pictures properly, you won't have overexposed or underexposed or crushed information. You can use the fact that you've got a log recording to make a more interesting final production. So by understanding the technology, it makes you better as a creative as well.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So what is it that, what type of courses do you have on your the film and production and broadcast? I mean, I do bring it up just so I can read it. It is a long title. But the film and production and broadcast engineering course, that therefore is a combination of the two disciplines, so to speak.
It absolutely is. A lot of people, when they leave school, they're not really sure what they want to do. They might like the technical side and understanding of that, but they actually can be creative as well. Sort of a bit like myself, when I joined the BBC, I knew I love that creative side as well. So we're taking these students that have got an interest in both areas and hopefully giving them knowledge in both those areas. Some of our modules are very, very technical. They are going to take you up, bring you up to speed on video over IP, on the electronics, on the maths, keep you aware of formats, compressions, how to stream, all the things technically that you need to know. But we're also going to give you the opportunity to use the latest cameras, to work in a film set, to work in a TV studio, to actually produce a huge production, something like we've got one going up that we're planning for this year. It's called Univision. It's going to be a 1.5-hour broadcast. It is at the university equivalent of Eurovision, and it is no mean feat. Both creatively and technically, we're taking fibers from one part of our campus to another, so one of our students is the lead engineer on it and the others are working out the creative side on the outside and on the other side and the production. So by doing the course, you get exposed to quite high technical level on one side and a very strong creative level on the other side, and then going forward you will be able to go whichever direction you want. But we all know that if you've got these technical understanding and technical knowledge, you're more likely to get a paid job in our industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I like the idea that I've seen some of Univision from previous years, and it is a lot of fun. And I think what's great, at my university, we did an election show. And of course, the good thing about trying to emulate these really large shows is it is a little bit ambitious, really, let's face it. But if you don't do that, then you don't have that element of fun. And, you know, I think the Univision is a really cool idea. So, but yeah, as you say, then you get to encompass everything. You've got to produce an actual show. Someone's got to vision mix it as well as engineer it. And what other courses are going on around your film production focus engineering course?
So the other degree programs, we were actually developed because my colleague, Alan Haig, he actually was a tonmeister and graduated from the University of Surrey. Now, this is a course called Music and Sound Recording. It's been running for over 50 years, and it was one of the first courses that brought together really, really strong physics and audio engineering, and also very strong technical skills on how you record someone for a band or for a station or now for television. And it takes you into the physics as well as being able to hear, does this work? Does it sound nice? Can you edit all the streams of music together to make the best recording production. So their students are composers or performers, but they're also really strong on the technology. So again, bringing the creative and technical together. So we're effectively the sister course for this, but ours is for video and film, and then the technology behind it.
So recently you had an outreach day. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because that's your way of trying to, you know, talk to local schools and make sure they know there's a university nearby then, and help them understand what they might want to do at that university.
I mean, what's so important is I've had a great career. I still have a great career, which is in the broadcast, related to the broadcast industry. All the jobs, all the people that you're talking to have great careers in the broadcast industry. But youngsters don't know this exists. They look at the telly, they see that little square on the box, and they think that it's only this person. They don't realise there's a team of people behind this to actually make the television work. They don't know there's all this technology involved in making the television work, or the streaming work, or TikTok or Snapchat. You've got to understand the technology to be able to get your message out to other people. So what is great about a day with youngsters is we bring them on board and we start to show them some of that technology so that they don't just see the person in front of the screen, they can see the whole studio of people behind the cameras that are actually making it to work. We work with them for a whole day. We take them through some of the technical theory in the morning. So this is from two local schools, from widening participation backgrounds, so they've got an opportunity to see different things. And then we take them into our wonderful TV studio, which has only just been finished in January this year. And we show them a little bit of green screen, how we can make virtual reality work, make someone look like they're in a different part of the country or a different part of the town. And then pull a whole production together so that they're actually involved and they're making it. So they can see the technology, they can see it in action, and they can have a go at a lot of the skills themselves, whether it's from working a camera to doing the vision engineering, sort of making the cameras that you're cutting from and to the same colour. Because we all may take it for granted. Yeah, we'll take a picture and, it's not right, we'll correct it afterwards. You can't do that with live television. You've got to do it there and then. And to do that, you've got to understand a little bit about the broadcast signal. How was it encoded? How did we make the colour? What are the changes you can actually do? So they can start to see there's a technical aspect to it, the creative side, not just the content. People need to know how all the equipment works too.
I think as much as some people do know that there's people behind the camera, effectively what happens is, usually someone sweeps around, they say, thanks everybody, look at all these people who've helped me do this program. But what you see at that point is a load of people holding mics or holding cameras or whatever and standing around, so you don't really see what they're doing. And from everybody's experience of using a camera, there doesn't seem to be a lot to it. And so, you know, I think is that not until you actually get your hands on a vision mix or whatever it happens to be that even if it's just talkback, right? There's a lot of interest there when you start to understand why things are the way they are. And it's I think that's when you start making the connections. It's just a lot of hard work, isn't it, to get somebody into that situation so they can actually interface and with the kit.
Absolutely. It's so easy just to look at the person on the screen and not have any awareness of the technical skills that are making this happen. And more kids are just seeing them on their phone, so it's automatically there. You don't even need a big camera. So it's all hidden behind this wonderful, it's just magic. Everything just works by magic. So if they can actually understand, they could be part of pulling this together. They could be part of making someone look like they're on Tower Bridge when they're actually in the University of Surrey campus, that they're in an ice rink just about to be run over by a car, as one of the shots we did behind the green screen. We can create this inspiration that actually they can be part of it, that they can be, this could be their future as well.
And so what age groups do you... what age groups did you have at the outreach event?
So last week was really good. We had 15 to 16 year olds. So they're just about to choose the subjects going forward. And if you really do want to be involved in a lot of the engineering side and the development side in film and TV and streaming, then having a basic maths understanding is really, really useful. It makes everything going forward, the programming, the IT, working with the equipment so much easier. So we were sort of there to inspire people, keep that maths on because it's got a practical application in our world of broadcast engineering. If you lose it now, it's going to be harder to do some of those roles and to get into our side quite as easy. I mean, actually on our course, we do have a maths test that if for some reason the school isn't able to do maths A level, we can actually look for the aptitude in the student or the applicant.
Okay, that's good. I mean, do you find that people have kind of already made up their mind though at all already by 15? Because they've already gone through the GCSE choice, and of course the government keeps it wide and you have to do some maths and English and things like that, but you know, is there an element that they've already kind of said, oh yeah, well I'm not really sciencey, so I'm gonna try not to, you know, try and do this and concentrate on something else? You know, is that actually something which plays in to the later age groups?
What we've seen is if someone can be inspired by having seen something, going to an event like that, seeing the technology working, knowing this could be me in the future, that can have a strong influence. It's not going to change their abilities in the subject, but it might give them a reason to want to try. I mean, why do maths if you think it has no future? If you do maths and you can be part of this team that are working behind the scenes on an outside broadcast, working behind telly, working on streaming, building studios, actually creating new studios round about the country, which is what some of my graduates have gone on to do. These are quite exciting jobs. So if you don't know that this exists, then the idea of, oh, just doing maths, it's a bit boring. Why do I need it? But actually, it can lead you into this wonderful world. Then I think if you can hear that at any time, it's going to have impact. I think there has been research that have said the earlier that you can reach youngsters, the better. But I don't think it's a lost cause by going to 15 and 16 year olds.
I think that's a fair point. And, you know, there's no right answer. You need to talk to 15, 16 year olds as much as you probably need to talk to 8 year olds. And, you know. Then you'd end up talking to schools all the time and not doing any teaching if you had to do all of them. What's the reception from schools when you try and when you contact them and say, look, we're doing this, get your children into a studio? Are they, what do they say?
That is a brilliant question because I've done this before, and the last time I had 50 youngsters and they were 17 to 18 year olds and they were already doing maths as an A-level. So I deliberately invited these students from widening participation backgrounds to come to this brilliant day. It was actually sponsored by EMG. They brought along a £60 million OB truck. I set up an event that we were filming. There was wonderful cameras. There was so much equipment. It was amazing. And these students were in a bus and they were turning to their teacher and going, Miss, why are we going to a media thing when we do maths? Mm-hmm. So that was their opening statement. By the end of the day, they knew why they were there and they'd had a fantastic time. So it's definitely not too late.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And so, you know, does that mean that are the schools kind of surprised when you approach, or, and, you know, their careers? Do you have people who are careers advisors approaching you? How does that work?
I would love to talk to all the careers advisors and see what great jobs you could get. Come on my course. We had some wonderful applicants just the other week, and they had got to their careers advisors saying that they were going to come and they were applying for my course. And they actually said, well, why don't you just do engineering there? Even the careers advisors don't know what we do, don't know about our industry. So this is something that I need help from the industry to actually pass back to careers advisors to say there are wonderful things going on. There's amazing jobs that youngsters can have if they get involved in the technical or the creative side of filmmaking and television. But having that technical edge means that you are so more likely to get a job when you leave university. I mean, our course has 100% employment when they leave. I have companies phoning me up asking me, do I have more graduates? Mm. I think one of the companies you work for has got graduates from the last couple of years. Because when they know that the students have the skills and they can move into the job quite quickly, then that is very desirable. So we know that we can help students get employed in all areas of film, TV and broadcasting.
It's really tricky, isn't it? Because, you know, in the same way as you're saying to students, or carry on learning maths, because it's a broad tool which you can then bring into the industry and do fun stuff in your course, your program. But, you know, I think there's some people who would be saying, well, don't do broadcast, do the engineering, because then you're still in it, you still got a broad tool. But what the students then missing out on is that all of this actual, you know, in studio time honing their craft and understanding which parts of the industry they want to be in. So I think it's quite a difficult balance for some people to say, well, should I go through the traditional route and then go into broadcast, at which point you've got to have sold yourself, right? You it's up to you then to have done some stuff in broadcast by the time you leave. You know, plead with an employer who can say, oh, right, okay, so you can do that and you've got some experience. Okay, great. Because otherwise, you know, you can't, as an employer, you can't just go to a physics department or an engineering department and say, well, who's interested in media? Because, you know, it's too late by then. It's all a bit weird, right? So I think that's the problem, and that's the benefit of this type of course.
Mm. I mean, as you know, we are actually an IET accredited course, so that everything that you would get in an engineering degree for an incorporated IET accreditation, you get on our degree. It's a very long process, very strict and very carefully done. Some lovely people from the IET came and inspected, and this was during COVID, so very challenging. But they loved what we were doing, and a lot of the projects that we do, even though they're creative projects, they actually have a very sort of technical bias to them. The way you run a creative project is very similar to the way you'd run a technical project. So they could see a lot of synergies in what we were doing. And we ticked all the boxes and we got the accreditation. So there would be no difference for the same level of accreditation on a pure engineering course compared to our course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. So the demand from companies is really high. Yeah. It seems ironic then that it seems to be quite hard to get people into the courses. How much do you find that you're having to do a marketable course? I mean, it's two elements. First of all, you're trying to lead the thinking from the student's perspective, but then when you're writing what the course is, you know, does it matter what it's called in terms of making sure people understand what it is and want to apply and don't get turned off?
Absolutely. Or not get confused. We absolutely have the words broadcast engineering in there because mm-hmm. it is a broadcast engineering degree. And anyone who actually just wants to do the creative side and is not interested in really understanding the nitty gritty behind the scenes, the transmission, yeah. the broadcast, video over IP, then this would be a challenging course. But if you're inspired enough to know that once you graduate from the course, so many more doors are open to you by having those extra skills, it could change things. I'm going to be honest, and someone who has been in touch just last week, because we were going to do an evening presentation with the IET as well, and in the end it got called off, unfortunately. But there was some sort of 16, 17, 18-year-olds interested in coming to that. And one of them was going to go and do film studies. And now they know about our course, they think, oh, I could do the technical side and the creative side at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then as they go forward, it will be their choice to decide. Mm-hmm. They have the options. They've got everything that they do throughout the course. They learn all the basics in both areas. And then when it comes to the final year, they can either specialise in the more technical side of the creative project or be on the director and the DOP side of the creative project. So they've got more doors open to them as they go forward. So it does help.
What do you think, in general, as an industry and perhaps to individuals, what is it that we could do to help overall just increase the increase students' ability to understand the options and for those that are genuinely interested, be able to access the education they're interested in?
Yeah, I mean, RISE is doing an absolutely fantastic job of getting out to youngsters to show that there is a technical side of television and all the many wonderful careers that they could go in. I helped at the summer school this year, helping to inspire people into the industry. So they're doing a great job. But if more companies would reach out to schools, go along to your local school and do a parents talk or do a friendly talk to a school that you used to go to, because we don't have the people that know that these jobs exist. They're relatively new jobs because there were, you know, there were chemists 100 years ago. There were physicists 100 years ago. There were not television engineers 100 or film engineers over 100 years. Well, maybe just.
I know what you mean.
There certainly wasn't a course on it. I mean, when I did electrical engineering, I wasn't making the choice, oh, do I do film in electrical engineering? It wasn't a choice. It was electrical and electronic engineering.
Yeah, I understand. And of course, you're still up for applications.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if anyone has listened to this and thought, oh, this could be a good idea, just get in touch with me. So you can see my email address. It's susan.pratt@surrey.ac.uk. I have one of my colleagues, Andy Gilbert, will help me work things out. And you can come along and visit us in January. We have some what we call applicant days. So they're normally for people who will have already applied through UCAS. So if you're sort of looking to come to university next year, get in touch and then we can always let you show you around our facilities at the same time we're doing things for other applicants. If you're actually looking ahead a little bit further, then we'll have open days towards the end of the summer, and so look on our website, which Russell is showing us now, and you'll see the link to the open days, and I think the first one's round about June, July next year.
Let's see if it says. I don't think it's got posted yet.
I think I looked the other week because someone was saying, oh, when can we come? And I'm going, I don't think the next one's till June. But if you're an applicant looking to come to university in September 2024, then get in contact with me before that, because we will still have spaces on the course. We will still be able to recruit probably right up to clearing. We are a small course. There tends to be only around 20 students on our course. It does mean we know everyone by name. It may also mean you can't hide. So you're going to get fully involved in the course. We've got lovely students in the other years. We set up mentoring groups as well, so that the third years look after the second years, look after the first years. They seem to call them families and talk about parents and grandparents amongst themselves. But I think it's a lovely way to be, so that even across, so I mean, working on the Univision heats last week, we had third years, we had second years, we had people coming back from placement to help out, and we had the first years as well. So we've got a very collaborative group of students, so it's really nice to work with.
That's really good. Well, look, thank you very much for joining me today. Really appreciate talking to you, and congratulations on a successful outreach event, and look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Thank you.